Well, I'll be truthful with you. I was a little overwhelmed for this week. And if I wasn't overwhelmed enough before the children's sermon, what else is there to say? So my task today is to somehow convince the listener that the Word of God is the Word of God. That's overwhelming. And there's a couple truths I feel like I've discovered this week, or over the course of time of preparing for this moment in history. Truth will always travel slower than lies. Truth will always travel slower than lies. And it's far easier to discredit something than to give it credit, authenticate it, validate it, and consider it true. The Bible, God's holy word, Scripture, it transforms lives. It moves lives. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as to divide spirit and soul, joints and marrow. It is a judge of the ideas and thoughts of the heart. We can chew on that one verse for the rest of the year. The Word of God is living. It is not dead. It is not stagnant. It is dynamic. The Word of God is dynamic. It just doesn't sit there and do nothing, because it is living and it is effective. And it is able to penetrate and convict us, yet comfort us. It is to guide us and maybe even stop us from going further. It is a two-edged sword. You know, they say a chainsaw blade should be cat claw sharp. And if you've ever had any experiences with a cat, you know what cat claw sharp is. And I'm going to give you an example of how sharp a cat claw actually is. Now, my buddy Ralph, the cat, all right, I have always been impressed with Ralph's athleticism. I have seen Ralph jump over, gaps, and I've seen Ralph catch lizards, rabbits, squirrels, and hummingbirds, which we told Ralph that's off the list. No hummingbirds, Ralph. Right? It's illegal to get by the bird feeder. You can't do that. That's breaking the rules. But I saw Ralph recently. We've got a screen porch, okay? And about yay high is a railing, okay? And And that railing just basically separates it, some support system. And so you got this giant screen at the top, and you got little sections of screen at the bottom. And well, unfortunately for a bird was trapped in the screen ports, because we like to leave the door open for Ralph in case he wants to come in and take a nap on the couch. And next thing I know, I walk out on the screen porch and witnessed Ralph. Ralph jumped up and grabbed a hold of the screen. I'm not lying. Ralph was stuck to the screen like Spider-Man. The bird didn't make it, but the screen did. I was so worried that that screen was going to be destroyed. Now, you tell me how in the world this cat could jump up and hang onto the screen, and you can't even tell that the screen is damaged. I'll tell you why. It's cat claw sharp. That's how. And that's the Word of God. That is how sharp the Word of God is. Not just one edge, but two edge. The two-edged sword that is able to penetrate and separate joint and marrow, soul and spirit. No creature is hidden from Him. No creature is hidden from God. But all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. When we experience shame, we all experience shame of some sort. When we experience shame, it is because we feel exposed. And we know that God can see everything, and to Him we owe an account for everything we do. There's no hiding. There's no hiding. When you go back to the garden, I call it the cliff of the fall. Genesis 2:25. They were both naked and not ashamed. They were both fully exposed and had no shame. Why is that? We hadn't got to chapter 3 yet, where sin enters the world. Today's sermon title is, "This Your Story?" And what I'm asking is this your story? Are you able to hold this book, as tangible as this artifact may be? We know that it's not just a physical substance, but it is something that lives and breathes. That God has spoken through the prophets. You see, when John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." When was that? In the beginning. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt with us with grace and truth. You see, that's the birth of Jesus. But you have to go back to the beginning. And it is the Word of God. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The Bible. The best-selling book of all time is also the most shoplifted book of all time. I kind of like that fact. You know, we know it's the best-selling, and we probably say it's the least read for the best-selling, right? If you do some you know, fancy graph. There's a lot of Bibles out there. That's a lot of Word. That's a lot of truth. You see, remember, Truth will always travel slower than lies. And it's far easier. And you know exactly what I'm saying. You see, we live in a world now where there's no lack of information and knowledge. And the marketplace of knowledge is now so saturated with knowledge that the value of knowledge has been devalued. Because there's so many opinions out there, you don't know what to believe. One click, and you're destroyed. You're one click away from crawling your way back. Because it's so easy to discredit someone, and the lie will travel so fast. Truth is contained here in the Word of God. The smallest Bible can actually, it's on about the size of a dime. Now, you need a microscope to read it, but all the words are there. The largest Bible, they say, you know, all big things are in Texas. Well, this is actually in Texas. And it's about a 4 by 8 foot sheet of plywood size when it's open. And it weighs half a ton, right? 1,000 pounds. That's a big Bible. Over 40 authors. Over 1,500 plus years. It's not limited to 1,500 years because this book goes back to when? The beginning. And it tells us the story of what? Of Jesus. The whole Bible is a story about God's love for us. The Bible is simple as this. God created and made everything really good. Chapter 3, we mess up. Now, the whole rest of the Bible is all about God putting the pieces back together. And He only can do that by coming to us in the person of Jesus. And you think about the Word, the creative force, the Word, and the Bible, and Jesus is considered the Word. Right now, I am what? I'm preaching the Word. This is an overwhelming task if you've ever really thought about it. You see, my job is to speak for God Almighty. And I've already established, I hope, that we can't hide from Him. And everything I say, all my thoughts, cannot be hidden from Him. That the Word that I'm preaching is actually able to penetrate and divide even my own joints and marrow and my soul and my spirit. I don't even know how in the world can you separate a soul and a spirit? That's the dynamic ability of the Word of God. And there's so many people who just want to tear it down. And it's so easy to tear down. And I think we spend so much time trying to put it back together, we can't put it back together. We just need to live the Word. Because the Word is living. Does that make sense? The Word is living. Living. Like, it's just powerful. So, I want to read a little bit from Isaiah, and then I want to hit a few points in Psalm 119, which is somewhat familiar. But here's the beauty. Isaiah 55, I just want to read 10, 11. I want to come back to it. Here's where truth takes time. Joanne asked me this morning, she said, "You started your garden yet?" Right? I said, "Yeah, I've already started." Right? Because it takes time. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed and sow and food to eat. I met my new neighbor the other day, and I was telling him, I like to grow food I eat. You know, I like to hunt, and I eat the food that I harvest. Period. He said, "It's free." I said, "No, it ain't free." It ain't free. It sure as heck ain't free. I could get an amen on a lot of that, right? "So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I sent it to do." So many times, I know I am so guilty of this, where I get frustrated at the pace at which things are happening. I keep looking inside that little bin. I got some little pepper plants. I've already sown some seeds. Ain't nothing popped up yet. It takes time. We get frustrated when things don't go, but always remember that truth is going to travel slower than lies. And if you want me to stick with the analogy, all you got to do in your mind right now is think about how fast those weeds grow. For some reason, the weeds grow a heck of a lot faster than what you want to grow. And you got to spend a lot of time getting rid of all those weeds. You think about the parable of the sower. What is it, right? The word is sown, it sprouts, and then the worries of the world are the weeds that choke out the fruit that we can bear. Psalm 119. I'm going to read 27 times. So Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. And some say Psalm 118 is the middle of the Bible, and Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter of the Bible. We've already actually hit some of this, Psalm 119. 27 times does the word appear, and I'm gonna scroll through. Each verse that says the word. I want you to think about this. How can a young man keep his way pure? Question mark. Answer. By keeping your word, God's word. "I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal generously with your servant so that I may live. Then I will keep your word. My life is down in the dust." Been there. "Give me life through your word. I weary from grief. Strengthen me through your word. Then I can answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take the word of truth from my mouth, for I hope in your judgments. Remember your word to your servant. You have given me hope through it. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Been there. "But now I keep your word. Those who fear you will see me and rejoice, for I put my hope in your word. I long for your salvation. I put my hope in your word. The Lord, your word is forever. It is firmly fixed in heaven. I have kept my feet from evil path to follow your word. How sweet your word is to my taste. Sweeter than honey in my mouth." Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. I am severely afflicted, Lord. Give me life according to your word. You are my shelter, my shield. I put my hope in your word. The revelation of your words bring light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. My anger overwhelms me because my foes forget your words. Your word is completely pure, and your servant loves it. I rise before dawn and cry out for help. I put my hope in your word. How many times are we hearing this? I put my hope in your word. You see, the word of God is living and active. I have seen the disloyal and feel disgust because they do not keep your word. The entirety of your word is truth. Each of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart fears only your word. Let my cry reach you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my cry reach you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. So often life is so misunderstanding, and there's a lack of clarity. God says, ask, seek, and knock. And so this Isaiah text, you know, contextually, we're just a couple chapters, just a chapter and a half, really, removed from the classic text we call the Suffering Servant, where it talks about Jesus coming and was beaten so badly that we couldn't even recognize him as a human being. And yet, there is hope in the Word. Because the good news is that in spite of all that was done to Jesus, all that he had suffered, he lived. And so Isaiah 55 begins like this. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and you without money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You see, the grace of God is free. But see, here's the deal. If we want to hear the voice of God, if we want to hear the word of the Lord, then we have got to come to the waters. We have got to ask, seek, and knock, and sit and listen. Like Elijah, after all he had been through, the voice of God did not come through the fire or the earthquake. It came through the gentle whisper. And so often, so much noise in the world around us is keeping us from hearing the word of God. If we sit with the word of God and wait and listen patiently, he will speak. It is living. The Bible is not a stagnant document. That's what separates it from all the other books in the world. It's living. It's effective. It's active. It's able to penetrate. It's able to convict and comfort. It's able to guide us and direct us. It's able to open our eyes to what we need to do. It's a story of God's everlasting love and faithfulness for a world that he created and a world that he loved so much that he was able to and willing to enter for us, to die for us, to be beaten and suffer. But yet still says, come to the waters and drink. Because we all are thirsting for truth. We all are thirsting for truth. And so hard, it's so hard to filter out all the noise and all the lies that are constantly circulating in our world today. So let's close with wonderful words of life.